The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of News Talk 600 and 100.3 WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning on the First Coast. It's 10 o'clock, and this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here, as always, this time on Saturday, live in the studio, here to talk about things that matter to us, and more importantly, perhaps talk about things that matter to you. If you want to control what we talk about, give us a call at 904-222-TALK. Those of you who know us well know the rules are always the same. Callers get priority, no matter what. We'll interrupt anything that's going on except a national crisis, which I think we're in, but that's another story, and put you on. I remind everybody that not all financial radio shows are created equal. Most of them are pre-recorded. You don't have that opportunity to discuss what you want to discuss. So give us a call with your questions, financial, economic, if you want to make a comment on the passing scene, or after I give you the trivia question, if you'd like to call in and do that, that's sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. Saw Kenny in the office this week walking after replacing a knee. It's nice to see him up and about. So if you give him a call, it's likely that he will be the one answering the phone and take care of your alarm needs. It was really good to see him. Anyway, what are we all about here? Well, we would like to bring you some education, and if you don't like it, as one of those other guys says, next week's show will be free. We'll be free anyway, but it would be better if you liked it. We do have a lot to talk about today. I'm going to do some economics lessons that apparently a lot of people just either forgot or never knew in the first place. I strongly suspect it's B. We're going to talk about the market, we're going to talk about stupid Fed policy, and we're going to, more than anything, have a lot of fun because what a wonderful week it was in the market once again. Sort of surprising most everybody, I think, and I'll admit it, even the people in the studio here, I think, are a little surprised at how quickly this rebound has regained all the turf that we lost early in the year. So without further ado, Adam will tell you about what's going on, and maybe we can prod out of him why.
I don't think we're surprised that it happened. I think we're surprised by the...
Pleasantly surprised.
By how fast it happened, how quickly the market rebounded.
Exactly.
We're actually up for the year. Didn't think I'd be saying that today.
Almost everything.
Yeah, almost everything is. The market bottomed out on February 11th, and since then, the Dow and the S&P have climbed almost 12%, and the NASDAQ is up 12.2%. However, from the highs of last May, the Dow is still off 3.9%, the S&P off 3.8%, while the NASDAQ is still off 7.1% from its June high in 2015. This week, the Dow added 2.3% to end at about 17.6, the S&P added 1.4% to end at 2,049, and the NASDAQ added 1% to end at 4,795. So, all in all, a good week, and who would have thought that after the worst start to a year ever, in March, everything's back to normal,
well,
more or less.
It played out kind of the way you might expect. If looking back on it, it's real easy for me to have 20/20 hindsight. I'm 20/20 foresight now, thanks to the good doctor, but my hindsight's really good. It was the Fed again. Not just our Fed, but other central banks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This week was due largely to the Fed. They made some comments on Wednesday that were actually pretty dovish, and we were actually convinced that the market would react positively and then negatively the next day, but the market liked it so much it reacted positively 2 days in a row, which almost never happens.
Yeah, we were both surprised about that, pleasantly.
The rest of the world is also engaging in quantitative easing, so I can understand the Fed's concern about a global slowdown. The new guidance from the Fed is for an increase of 50 basis points over the next year, which is about exactly 50% of what their stated target was about 3 months ago. So they cut in half their forecast of rate hikes, and the market loved that. The inflation targets for this year were also lowered, which explains some of why they took the stance that they did. They don't think
they
that inflation is going to come in as quickly as it was
originally. They had to justify what they were doing.
Sure.
And that would be contrary to stated Fed policy. And, of course, it's wrong. Inflation's on its way.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, if oil comes back even a little bit, well, you've seen it. Gas is up 30 cents or so on the First Coast in the last month. $1.60 to $1.90.
So. And look what oil and gold and silver and gasoline and all that have been doing. Those are all predictors of inflation, or precursors, at least, in some cases.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Besides, bought any English muffins lately?
I have not. My wife did. I didn't.
Want to talk about inflation? Just go to the store and look. You're going to be shocked.
Yep, so oil is another area that has significant improvement if you're an investor, or not so much improvement if you're buying gasoline, but in mid-February, the price of oil was down over 15% on the year. This week, oil almost broke even on the year, ending down just 1.1% with a slight pullback on Friday. So it's come up rather dramatically in the last month. The summer usually brings an increase in demand for gasoline, but this year the oil market is so out of whack, I don't know that it will translate into higher prices this summer. I would not be willing to bet on that at all.
I wouldn't bet on it after the 4th of July.
Commodities in general have done very well over the last month, with the commodities index up over 13% in that time. This includes the recent rally in metals and gold and silver. If you trade in commodities, be prepared to get out. Commodities are not something that fit into a long-term buy and hold portfolio. They're something that should be traded, so keep an eye on it if you are an active commodities investor.
Yeah, the equity market goes up about 70% of the time and down about 30% of the time. Those numbers are almost reversed in the commodity area. Might even be worse than that. Might be down 80% of the time. But when it goes up, it goes up real
sharp.
Nicely.
Yeah.
That's when you got to keep watching. These are trading vehicles. These are not long-term investments.
Yeah, and you can't accurately predict the bottom, so you might want to look at some dollar cost averaging strategies if the market is falling and you think it's near a low. In economic data this week, we had 23 reports released, with 12 of them beating expectations, including retail sales, manufacturing, housing, and jobs data. Only 5 of them came in below expectations, 3 of which were inflation indicators, PPI, core PPI, and CPI, which, imagine that, it came in really well with the Fed's comments on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And next week, we have 18 indicators, and the ones I'm going to be keeping an eye on are the GDP, as well as the durable goods report. And remember, it's a short week due to the Good Friday holiday.
Right. Now, the indicators have pretty much put at ease a lot of people who were really worried about going into a recession in the short term. There does not appear to be any reason to expect a recession right away. How much of this is a political reaction? How much of it's reality? How much of it's bad government figures? How much of it's Fed policy? There's a component of all of that. There's no question there's a component of all of that. So just keep your eyes and ears open. Listen to the show. But remember a month ago when we were telling you not to panic, and I'm speaking specifically to a few of our clients, we're saying at the low point about a month ago right now, isn't it time to do something? We said, no. The conditions aren't there right now for a panic attack in the market. And lo and behold, after 4.5 weeks or so of good stuff, we're back pretty much where we wanted to be. Okay, we're up on a hard break. Before we go, I'm going to talk about the oil business a little bit today, and that brings us to our trivia question. How much does the oil and gas industry pay to the federal government every day And I'm going to tell you it's a lot of money because I'm going to take it. Any right answer will be within $10 million of what the daily payments of the oil companies are to the federal government. Don't go away. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
Call now, 800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-297-1665. That's 1-800-297-1665. 1-800-297-1665. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. This is our exclusive radio offer never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait.
800-738-1912. 800-738-1912. 800-738-1912. That's 800-738-1912.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a lot to accomplish today, but first and foremost, I want to remind you, lines are open. We would really much rather talk about what's on your mind. Area code 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. All right, Adam, why don't you give the folks a little rundown on who we are, what we do, how we do it, where we do it, that sort of thing. Because it's sort of important that everybody know. We did pass a year on the show. We're coming up on a year in our business, fairly new, and having a real good time.
Absolutely. We are fee-only financial planners. We are located in Jacksonville Beach, right off the Marsh Landing Boulevard exit from Butler Boulevard. You can always reach us outside of the show at 904-685-1505, or you can email us at info@vanweefinancial.com. If you want to find us online, though, we're at www.vanweefinancial.com, and our website is actually undergoing a huge overhaul, which will be released in the next few weeks, and it's going to look great. Wouldn't you say so?
I previewed it, and I really like it.
Yeah, it's going to be much more functional, have more information relevant up to the date for our clients and potential clients.
And pretty pictures.
I think you'll really like it. So check it out when you get a chance. www.banwefinancial.com.
Okay. And you know the rules. Callers first. Marshall, good morning.
Gentlemen, how are y'all?
This just lovely day. Ducky. If I were any better, there'd have to be two of me.
I understand. You know, I keep seeing something, and I wanted to get an opinion from those like yourself who have a different perspective. I mean, I've been blessed to run a couple of small companies and work for some very large companies. It appears to me that over the last almost 10 years, larger organizations have been puckering up, is the best way I can explain it, meaning let's get more liquid. Let's don't go out and expand. Let's don't make investments in other complementary businesses that would be a good complement to our business. And that seems to be causing companies to extreme in their protectiveness of themselves. And I mentioned this, you know, from a compliance standpoint. Major corporations, I mean, I evaluate one very, very large bank I used to work for. I mean, it's like their focus is totally on risk mitigation, not as a business, how do we grow our business? How do we build our business?
Good reason for that.
Do you guys have some perspective on that?
Well, what's one of the biggest capital expenditures going on today and has been for well over a year? Stock buybacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's where their money's going. Why? Less exposure out there. Higher earnings per share without expanding your business. It, in our business, they call it good profits versus bad profits. So when the share earnings go up because the buyback has less shares out there, in other words, you changed the denominator, those are bad profits relative to the ones where your top line earnings grow. That's a numerator enhancement. Those are good profits because the company's growing, hiring people, hopefully providing more and better products and services. You're absolutely right. Companies are not growing. They're shrinking. We talk about it all the time when we talk about the earnings season, which will be coming up again in a month. The revenue beat rate has been miserable for several quarters now because they're just not growing revenues. And yet, the earnings beat rate holds up very well because earnings are based on earnings per share and they're messing around with the share prices. You're absolutely true. Why do you suppose it is, Marshall? Fear? Nobody wants to get tossed in jail for violating some stupid regulation that some stupid regulator made without any basis. Right?
I mean, I think that has a fair amount to do with it. But is the picture that the CEO of a prominent company and his board is looking at essentially the same picture that you're looking at with your clients to say, is the market in a good, solid position to expand your holdings a little bit? I mean, is this really the same thing from a corporate versus a personal look?
Depends if you're looking at it to invest or if you're just making a passing comment on the scene. I believe it was the CEO of BlackRock a week or so ago encouraged business people not to do quarterly earnings and quarterly guidance. And his reasoning is everybody has a short-term perspective because they're only as good as what the earnings were that they just reported. They're only as good as what they're willing to say about the next quarter. And under Regulation FD, if a CEO gives some guidance for earnings or sales and doesn't meet it, they can be in trouble. So, of course, they're going to be very, very close to the belt. But I loved the concept. You know, I equate that to politics. The horizon, the thinking horizon of a congressman is only 2 years because then he or she faces reelection. The president only has a 4-year thinking horizon because he or she faces another election. Senator can go all the way out to 6 before he or she has a problem having to be reelected. So when somebody, I'm on the oil industry today for one thing. So let's go back to Bush in his first year in 01. Bush had an energy summit meeting because we needed a national energy plan, and everybody got on his case because, A, he consulted people in the oil business. Now, that was nuts, according to them. And two, he had a 10-year projection, basically. This plan, if implemented now, will take effect within 10 years. Well, nobody ever looks out 10 years in D.C. So the liberals were on his case like white on rice the whole time. And 10 years later, what happened to oil and gas prices? They plummeted. Why? Because it worked. So it bothers me that corporations only have a quarterly attitude. It bothers me that the Congress and senators only have a 2-4-6-year attitude. And it bothers me about a lot of this stuff. So I complain about it because I'm certainly not willing to run for office. I don't know exactly what the answer is, except we try to educate as many people as possible.
Well, part of the issue, too, is that it does feel like there is less going on. But in actuality, 2015, there was more M&A activity in the global economy than there ever had been in any year before.
Merger and acquisition.
Right. So it put it roughly $4.7 trillion worth of M&A. So that was an all-time high adjusted for inflation. So it is happening. It may not be the blockbuster deals that are making headlines, but there are a lot of smaller companies involved in a lot of these deals.
There's another thing that's happening too, Marshall, that's directly related to your question. A lot of companies are disappearing, and it's not because they're going under. They're going private equity. If you look at the number of stocks overall on the American stock exchanges, not the American exchange, but the various exchanges in America, the number of listed stocks is steadily shrinking. If you look at the, the All Market Index, anyway, there's a couple different people that track it. It's way down. It used to be something like 8,500. Now it's down around 6,800, something like that. Companies just disappear. Now, that can happen when two companies merge into one. I'm thinking ExxonMobil today, for instance. Mm-hmm. And it can happen when a company goes private. So a lot of that is because Dodd-Frank, Sarbanes-Oxley, stupid laws like this are causing so much grief to the people who run these companies that they can avoid a lot of it by not having public shareholders to report to, so they go private. What does that do to people like us? It gives us less choice for investing our money and our clients' money. So it's not really a good thing. How do we change it? Well, you vote correctly, hopefully. So what's your take on all that?
Well, my feeling has been for quite some time that we're pulling back the bow, and it's getting tighter and tighter with these organizations that I see directly hoarding cash, staying as liquid as they can.
And hoarding it overseas.
Sure that, well, yeah, some of that
making
is
sure they're not,
involuntary.
They're not exposing themselves to too many of the, the little nightmare from when the auditor shows up that doesn't know what he's doing and drives you nuts for months.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And that necessarily is putting a damper on our economy.
And should that free up even a little bit after the election?
Yeah, hopefully. Depends on the results.
The engine known as the United States economy could be like that bow being let go of.
Yeah, we agree.
Because there's still so many people out there that just, they don't grasp how, the company they did business with 2 years ago maybe has dramatically changed. Mm-hmm. They should go ask that company why they changed.
Yeah,
and they'll find out it's because they're scared to death of somebody from a regulatory standpoint coming in and costing them way more money than them just doing business as normal.
Absolutely true.
I'll give you another example. I'm very focused on small businesses here at the beach. And listening to a man running a small restaurant, the property owner is having construction. So it appears to most people that they're closed, but they aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to make up the decision of, do I shut down for one day that is one of my slower days during the week? What do I do?
Marshall, we're up on a break, and I got a couple more things I'd like to talk about with you. Are you okay if I put you on hold? Can
sure.
You wait five?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. I'll see you on the other side. All right, there are a couple more things that I think are very important in Marshall's point, which is a great one, and it impacts every one of us as investors. So remember the trivia question, which I will ask Marshall again. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you right after the break. You're listening to the Van Lee Financial Hour.
News, traffic, and weather. Updated on the stories that matter. We've got you covered. AM 600 and FM 100.3. WBOB Jacksonville.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The investigation is now underway into the crash of a Dubai jetliner today in parts of southern Russia, killing all 62 people on board. 55 were passengers, 7 others were crew members. And the Dubai media office says those killed in the crash involved 44 Russians, 8 Ukrainians, 2 people from India, and 1 from Uzbekistan. The top suspect in last year's deadly Paris attacks now in custody in Belgium. France expected to ask that his extradition be fast-tracked. Salah Abdeslam is a French national. He will face police questioning now that he's out of a hospital after treatment of a gunshot wound to the leg. France is asking that he be quickly extradited so he can face charges in that country. Once again, anti-Trump demonstrators turned out, disrupting an event yesterday in Salt Lake City. Today, Trump has 2 events scheduled for Arizona. More details at SRNNews.com.
So let's get back to this issue of was Scalia murdered in plain English. I don't know how to mince the words. It's too late in my career to even know how to change the title of that question. I could change it 100 different ways. Are there any questions about Antonin Scalia's passing? Did Scalia pass away of a heart attack? Don't just say it like it is. Was Scalia murdered? The first thing I thought when I read it was someone killed him. Immediately.
It's the Savage Nation. Weekday afternoons at 3 on News Talk WBOB.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. But doctors have recently discovered they are unable to reverse or control serious side effects, such as internal bleeding caused by Xarelto. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Call now if you or a loved one was hospitalized from any form of internal bleeding or stroke after taking Xarelto. You may be entitled to a cash award and substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. There is limited time to file a claim, so call now. Call 800-961-5842. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-961-5842. That's 800-961-5842. Again, 800-961-5842.
Welcome to Last Words of Jesus, daily reflections from Christ's 7 sayings from the cross. With today's reflection, here's Stu Epperson.
What did Jesus Christ say as he died on the cross? And how does that change your life forever? It is finished. The words of Christ, his 6 of his final words from the cross, have been our reflection all week. He hung on the tree of death so we could eat from the tree of life. And his words, "It is finished," triumphantly declared his work, his efforts. But can you and your moral efforts and good deeds surpass his perfect finished work? In the name of religion, mankind has been trying to earn God's favor for centuries. Yet Jesus paid it all. The question remains, will you bow your heart to him and by faith trust his finished work for salvation? Let his finished work be your new beginning.
Learn more about all the final sayings from the cross at lastwordsofjesus.com.
WBOB traffic and weather.
Look at the roadblock in St. Johns County due to a crash at State Road 13 at River Chase Drive. As for the weather, looking for rain all weekend, 70% chance of that today. Cloudy skies, highs near 70, 76 that is. 40% chance of rain tonight, tomorrow. Overnight low 60, high tomorrow about 69 degrees. It is currently 68 at Newstalk AM 600, FM 100.3 WBOB.
Van Lee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Lines are open, 904-222-TALK. 222-8255. And without further ado, back to Marshall. We're talking about some very disturbing trends, especially in large businesses within America. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good. I have a modest proposal. I want to run it past you. You know how politicians love to put their names on laws, right?
So it'd be lovely, isn't it?
Yeah. I have a modest proposal. When the last of the politicians who have their names on a bill leave Congress, the bill should be sunsetted and done away with. And then if anybody wants to renew the provisions in it, they'd have to put their name on it. I refer, of course, to Sarbanes-Oxley and Dodd-Frank. Frankly, if I were in the electoral cycle and had one day to spend in the White House, the first thing I would do is submit my petitions to Congress to repeal both of those. Second thing would be to put in that provision that if there's a person's name on the law, it doesn't outlast them by one day. How do you like that?
It's an excellent thought.
I thought so.
I mean, I really wish that the average consumer grasped how much more money they are spending because of Dodd-Frank.
I wish they did too. You're absolutely right.
And what scares a large financial services company is not that there is a knowledgeable regulator who is looking to make sure that they treat clients appropriately. The problem is those of us that work very hard in our careers for many years realize as goes on in my business, we say the regulator doesn't even realize there's two G's in mortgage. That's how little they know about that which they regulate.
Thank you.
And it's scary. I mean, it really is.
Yeah. But they can read all that, 70-some thousand pages of tax code and how many hundred thousand pages of regulatory things that are added literally daily by people who are unelected. So it's a shame. It is definitely holding back our economy, and I'm hoping that the results of this next election this year will be a significant improvement in that business climate.
I hope so, too.
It'll help us all as investors, I promise you.
Oh, absolutely.
Marshall, you want to take a shot at the trivia question? How much money?
And what was our trivia again?
Yeah, how much money does big oil and big gas pay to the federal government every day within $10 million?
Every day.
There's no reason anybody should know this, so I'm just.
$1 billion.
No, too high. Nice try, though.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't take them long to do that, let me tell you.
No.
No, but it's too high for a one day. All right.
Thank you.
All right, take care of yourself. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. It's exactly right.
Speaking of legislation with people's names on it, that's pretty relevant right now. How about that McCain-Feingold? That really cleaned up the campaign financing.
Took that money out of politics, didn't they?
Oh, man. It's just so clean now, isn't it?
The law of unintended consequences is alive and well and always will be. One of the big issues that we face right now is immigration. Immigration is not something we want to stop. Had we stopped it a long time ago, I wouldn't be here. You all wouldn't be here. It has to be controllable. That's the issue. But there are some really, really important reasons to have an immigration policy, and Adam's going to dig into that a little bit.
Absolutely. In 2014, something interesting happened for the first time in 7 years, or since the Great Recession. The birth rate in the U.S. rose 1%. It's not a lot. The largest increase in births was shown to be women between 30 and 45 years old. Now, for a generation to be able to replace itself, every woman has to have an average of 2.1 babies. right now in the U.S., every woman is having slightly less than 1.9 babies.
That's despite a lot of partial babies that we need.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, but that's how the statistics play out. Despite the rise in the birth rate in 2014, our population is not reproducing fast enough to replace ourselves in this country.
Which leads to problems in Social Security and other social programs.
Absolutely. The reason that this is important in finance is that babies eventually grow from tax deductions into taxpayers. Current workers paying taxes is what keeps the government funded. Without enough current taxpayers, the government doesn't have enough tax base to pay for Social Security and Medicare, two government programs that I'm pretty sure most of you would like to keep solvent, especially those in the retirement age.
You looking at me?
A little bit, yeah. You can really see the effects of this in the Social Security system right now, where the projections are, by the time I retire, the system will be bankrupt. Considering the $19 trillion in national debt that we're already sitting on, you can understand why many people consider this the largest problem facing the United States today. There are many potential solutions to this problem, but some of them are just flat out, some of them flat out don't work, and some of them are unpopular with politicians of one party or another. And the one that is proven to work is a politically and socially controversial issue in itself. I don't have time to address everyone, but I can tell you that they fall into two main categories. The first is to cut spending. This is always wildly unpopular in Washington, as you can imagine. Most politicians on both sides of the aisle tend to feel that the entire reason they were elected was to spend more government money on behalf of their constituents. The second is to increase government revenue. Most of the time, this happens in the form of tax increases. No politician likes to touch this issue unless they are claiming to only target those evil rich people. The other part of the revenue equation is to increase your tax base. Increasing your tax base, in this case, is kind of code for immigration. As we all know, there are two kinds of immigration, legal and illegal. Historically, the illegal kind is the one that we have a problem with. However, due to a series of terror attacks that have taken place here on American soil over the last couple of decades, legal immigration has also become a source of controversy. Rarely do I find someone who is completely against legal immigration to this country. The problem is that we don't really trust the government to do a good job of screening who is coming into the country through their legal methods. We are constantly hearing stories about how people who come here on student visas and then disappear, or immigrants from countries known to be friendly to terrorist groups where it is impossible to verify background checks are let in. There's just story after story these days. With all that being said, we absolutely need to find a way to let enough people immigrate to our great country every year to make up for the deficit of children that are not being born to current U.S. citizens. We should have a screening process, and it should be selective. We are fortunate to have enough people who want to come here to be able to be selective. So somewhere in between allowing 500,000 Syrian refugees into the United States and banning all Muslim immigrants, there is a reasonable solution that will save us from drowning in our own debt. And what that is going to be determined largely by who we cast the next vote for. So, again, another reason that politics affects your wallet, and be careful when you're casting your next ballot.
Yeah, and we're seeing this all over the world where their social programs, in particular whatever their system is that we refer to as Social Security, they're running out of money because it is built as, you could, a pessimist would say, a Ponzi scheme, and a realist would say it's built on a growing population where the younger people continue to fund the older people, and as they get older, the new crop of younger people carry on, and the program is self-supporting forever and ever. That stops the day your population stops growing, and it's happening all over the world.
Yeah, in most industrialized countries, you see it in Japan and all over Europe. Yep. It's a big problem.
Yep. Absolutely true. All right, let's go fishing with a PH. My research assistant came across an email this week. You might recognize her as my wife when she's not at the computer. It's from Xfinity, you know, those nice people from Comcast that provide a lot of us with internet service and television service and all that. It's on the Xfinity logo. It is as real looking as anything I've ever seen. So she started to read it. And it seems that our account had a little problem with it. The credit card doesn't seem to be working anymore. So we were to get a hold of Xfinity and give them a new credit card number. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, the first thing that's wrong with it is that we don't use a credit card for Xfinity. We pay it directly through the credit union. The second thing that's wrong with it is they wouldn't ask. The third thing that's wrong with it is it looked so real. So for all of you, and I know a heck of a lot of you out there right now are listening over Comcast, for those of you who see this Xfinity thing, read the whole email before you do anything. This is one of the most clever phishing things I've run across in a long time, and it's scary. Okay, we're up on a hard break. We'll come back afterwards and talk about big oil. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. But doctors have recently discovered they are unable to reverse or control serious side effects, such as internal bleeding caused by Xarelto. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Call now if you or a loved one was hospitalized from any form of internal bleeding or stroke after taking Xarelto. You may be entitled to a cash award and substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. There is limited time to file a claim, so call now. Call 800-961-5842. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-961-5842. That's 800-961-5842. Again, 800-961-5842.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-5783. 800-298-5783. 800-298-5783. That's 800-298-5783.
This is an important message about the IRS. Are you dealing with a tax crisis? If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? The IRS is offering a new way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, a government program for tax debt forgiveness.
Hi, I'm Paul Sibley, Director of Client Services with U.S. Tax Shield. The IRS is offering Fresh Start Initiatives because they actually want you to resolve your tax issues. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, stop the bleeding, and fix what caused your problem in the first place. Our goal is to negotiate a resolution you can live with and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-418-0572 for your free consultation and get protected now. That's 800-418-0572. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-418-0572.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back. Final segment of the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question is out there. How much does the big oil and big gas industry pay to the federal government every single day within $10 million? And we know a billion's too much. Lines are open, 222-8255. That's 222-TALK. Who is John Galt? A lot of people know that line. It was Ayn Rand's rhetorical question that everyone had on their lips in their great novel, Atlas Shrugged. In that futuristic world, which would kind of resemble today since it was written back in the 50s, that line is often repeated, and it symbolizes the malaise that people were in. If you think Jimmy Carter invented malaise, you're wrong. He just took it from Rand. Now, we're not at quite the level of complacency that Rand warned us about 60, 70 years ago, but our overall level of economic education is dismal, in my opinion, and I think pretty much in everybody else's opinion. Many years ago, increases in gas prices were eliciting demonstrations, and that those demonstrations showed a complete lack of economic understanding. Quote, big oil took a real public whipping. Remember Hillary Clinton in the Senate saying, I want to take those profits? Well, our trivia question today says they're doing a pretty good job. As an aside, this is my political comment out of the whole thing. Hillary did get a lot of those profits personally, too. It's called the Clinton Foundation. But I digress, as I so often do. Anyway, today, shameful rants by almost everybody, politicians, news people, and so on, complain every time the price goes up a little bit. And they complain about big oil ripping them off. Well, folks, big oil doesn't own oil. Big oil processes oil. Governments own oil. So if you want to talk about the price of crude, don't complain to ExxonMobil. I think many, many people would be shocked if they knew the big question. And that question is, who owns ExxonMobil? I first asked myself that question and did it on another radio station 8 or 10 years ago when a lot of this was going on. Who owns ExxonMobil? Well, almost every person's parents, teachers, firefighters, police officers, bus drivers, soldiers, sailors, Marines, and so on are the owners of ExxonMobil. Why? Because anyone with a pension plan, anyone with a 401k, an IRA, or any account like that that has an equity investment most likely holds ExxonMobil. It is the widest stock holding in America. Thousands and thousands of people own ExxonMobil. And by the way, 85% of those shareholders are Americans. ExxonMobil pays a very steady, very reliable dividend into all the plans. That's what your parents' pension is comprised of, dividends from ExxonMobil and things like that. If we were to shut it down, your retirement plans would suffer. All right, so let's fast forward. Today we have a political season again. A lot of young people are feeling the burn. Bernie Sanders calls it democratic socialism. I shorten it. I call it socialism.
And I would agree.
Yeah. His supporters have a mantra. Capitalism bad, socialism good. This argument is not about ExxonMobil. I use it strictly as an example because it's so big, so widely held, and so absolutely critical to all of us that it stay successful and pay us into the plans and grow and let our retirements happen. Wouldn't the protesters who are feeling the burn every day be shocked if they knew their evil parents are most likely owners not just of ExxonMobil but other symbols of American capitalism, not just Apple and Microsoft, but real, honest-to-goodness, old hardcore businesses like Ford Motor and all the, some of the dirty coal companies, that kind of thing. Unfortunately, for most, and I really believe this, I think most of their parents would be just as surprised to know that they own it. That probably is sad.
Yeah, it's probably true. Yeah.
Now you see at Trump rallies everywhere, the socialist disruptors trying to prevent him from speaking. They're saying that he's not a socialist, therefore he shouldn't be able to talk, because socialism, after all, sounds so good on paper. But I'm using ExxonMobil as my little indicator or example. So what is it that they actually do that makes our lives so apparently miserable? Start out by saying that most of you can go to a gas station and put in the results of their daily efforts. And on a gallon of gasoline that costs you about $1.96 today, it's always available. You can drive 20, 30, 40 miles with today's vehicles. You can get that gasoline at about $1.96, 24/7, 365, and you don't have to drive very far to do it. Where'd it come from that it wound up in your neighborhood? Well, crude oil is found in the most godforsaken places on this earth. Deserts, massive plains, areas where the winter would discourage anybody. Worse yet, it's not just sitting there, it's way underground. Not exactly ideal circumstances to produce an inexpensive product that has to be transported once to a refinery, processed, and transported again to a gas station near you so as not to inconvenience your pampered little lives. By comparison, a gallon of insulin costs $9,400. Black printer ink, $2,700. Human blood is $1,500 per gallon. Nail polish, $890 per gallon. Gasoline, $1.96. It's also more available than the other things. That's not any kind of mystery if you know anything about economics. Obama, Clinton, and Sanders want to shut down oil and coal products, favoring so-called clean energy. I can see me pulling up right now to the pump. Fill her up with sunshine and change the seaweed. Well, at least don't fill it up with nail polish. I can't afford it. What happens if the government were to take over these big companies? Let's look at some examples. Mexico nationalized its main oil company in 1938 when President Lázaro Cárdenas expropriated nearly all assets of the foreign oil companies operating in Mexico. This move was extremely popular because the citizens of Mexico are much like our liberal socialists are today. How'd it work out? Not great. Pemex, P-E-M-E-X, was formed from the confiscated assets, and before long, guess what? They start to experience problems. FDR got a lot of pressure back then from the citizens because of what was robbed from our local companies. So the government of Mexico finally relented and paid $23.9 million to the former owners of the assets. That surely made it better, right? Wrong. From peak production of 3.4 million barrels a day, production declined to 2.8 million by 2014. Despite huge natural gas reserves, Mexico imports most of its own needs. Citizens are denied good jobs because there's no prosperity in the state-owned industry. Mexican reserves are largely in the Gulf of Mexico, in the deeper waters. They have no ability to pull them out of the deeper waters. They have to call in American companies with American technology to go deeper. Let's go down to Venezuela, a little further south. Venezuela, many people think, has the highest oil and gas reserves anywhere in the world. How's that going? When Hugo Chavez came to power in 1999, he was the epitome of socialism. He failed to take over the industry in 1992, retained power in 2004, and then was succeeding the next time in taking over the assets. Oil production now 25% lower. Well, now that Chavez is gone and no one will miss him, we have Chavez Light and a fellow named Maduro. Will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
Yeah.
I doubt it. Is oil the only industry that you can say this about? Hardly. Look at the cars. Remember the cars called the Yugo, the Russian Lada, and others? These were state-owned businesses. There's an old joke about the Lada. It goes like this. What's the difference between a golf ball and a Lada? The answer? You can drive a golf ball 300 yards.
I actually worked for a company that had assets seized by Chavez back in the late 2000s.
I wish I were surprised. Anyway, these cars, that oil business, all of those are the examples of the gross inefficiency and lack of innovation in enterprises that are run by the governments. You don't need to look any further than North Korea. Find an aerial shot of North and South Korea at night. One of them is in a blackout. The other one is full of light. Folks, it doesn't work. It never works. We need more economic education. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Oil, big oil and big gas paying $86 million a day to the federal government. And that is a lot of money, folks. And I'll tell you more about that next week. Unfortunately, we got to run. Thanks for joining us today. Come back next week, same time you're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. We'll